Great to see all of you. I hope you are enjoying your Valentine's Day. Yes? Did you all receive chocolate, flowers? No? It's okay. Your spouse still loves you. And God loves you too. Please repeat after me. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Is this amen? This is the title of today's sermon. And just as you have made this confession, I pray that the Holy Spirit, whom you believe, will dwell in this place to bless us and to touch us with this word. There were three friends walking together in the forest. One was an artist, the other one was an architect, and the third one was a biologist. As they were walking together in the forest, the artist focused on the different colors of the leaves, and the artist was focused on the sunlight shining through the trees. And an architect focused on the types of the trees and its material, and was still calculating how much the resource can he get from this forest. And biologist focused on the sound of the insect and the chirping sounds of the birds, and find traces of the animals and follow their footsteps. They were walking together in the same place, but they were having the different experiences. What we can learn from this is that it is not the world itself that affects our thinking, but the world conveyed through our thinking affects us. As we live in this world, whether you are a believer or non-believer, we are often facing a similar situation. We all face irrationality, unfairness, anger, hardship, frustration, happiness, peace, freedom. All the negative and positive events are something that we all face in this world. But there's a difference. It's different how the believers and non-believers view these things and be affected by it. Non-believers only look at the situation in front of them, but the believers look at God's sovereignty and promise that's beyond the current situation. In other words, just like this three friends story, it is not the situation itself that affects our thinking, but the situation conveyed through our thinking affects us in different ways. So we, the believers, experience comfort, peace, joy. And in this, we experience true freedom and fellowship with God and the people despite the situation. How is this possible? What makes us so special to experience such feeling? And do we have some kind of a supernatural power to see the unseen? Is it because we are so faithful? Is it because we are way nicer than the people in the world? I mean, we are supposed to, right? But in reality, I don't think we can confidently say yes to this question, right? Maybe you do. Maybe it's just me. But anyways, if you are like me, this is something that we must repent. But don't feel too bad about it, because even having this heart and desire to repent is something that's different from the people in the world, because the people in the world don't really usually think about repentance. Then why is this happening to us? What makes it possible to have such feeling? It is because the Holy Spirit, whom we believe, resides in us. It is this Holy Spirit that makes us to see the unseen and discern things that are not of this world. Unlike the Old Testament time period, we are living in the time of grace in which every believer is given the gift of the Holy Spirit without exception. Acts chapter 2, verse 38-39 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to send after ascension. John 14:16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." So therefore, God sends Holy Spirit to us through Jesus Christ to be with us and to be with us forever. And all Christians have become the recipient of this blessing. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, and is of the same essence. Yet, he is also distinct from them. We see this distinction of person who share one divine essence in Jesus' description of the sending of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit is distinct from the Father and the Son, not because he possesses an inferior essence. Rather, his distinction lies in his procession from the Father and the Son. Since Holy Spirit is described as wind or breath in the Bible, there are many false notions about the Holy Spirit that he has been described simply as a force or an impersonal being. So many people think that Holy Spirit is some kind of a special force that performs supernatural work. But we need to know that Holy Spirit represents a person who stands on the same line of the Father and Son, the three persons in the Trinity. Here's the evidence of personality of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." And we can also see in Acts 5, 3, 4 that Peter identifies the Spirit with God by saying that Ananias lied to God and the Holy Spirit. This is what he says. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you had received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." But this Spirit didn't come all of a sudden from nowhere. He was present at the beginning, before the universe was made. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So when we confess that we believe in the Holy Spirit, what we are confessing is our conviction that Holy Spirit is eternal God along with the Father and the Son who was with us even from the beginning. Throughout the sermon series, we've been discussing what God the Father and God the Son did for us. And now we have this question, then what does God the Holy Spirit do for us? There are many things that Holy Spirit does for us. But first, we need to know that Holy Spirit is the counselor, which means he is the helper. John 16, 7 says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." This Holy Spirit, who is our helper, helps us in many different ways. John 14, 26 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And John 16, 13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So the Holy Spirit illumines our hearts to realize the truth and to understand God's will in our lives and guide us to live a holy life. And what does guide you into all truth means? This does not mean that the Holy Spirit leads us to a mysterious revelation or special knowledge that we need to know everything that's happening in this world, but to guide, to know all the truth that we need to know, the truth that is necessary for our faith and Christian life, which helps us to understand the will of God through the Word. Look at Ephesians 1, 4 in today's passage. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." And 1 Corinthians 6, 11 says, "And that is what some of you are, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Not only Spirit helps us to realize and guide us to the truth and give us the heart of repentance and faith, but also Holy Spirit helps us to be united with Christ so that we can receive the eternal life and enjoy all the blessings granted through Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." What is the spiritual blessing in Christ that Paul is referring to? Ephesians 1:5 says, "He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will." And also look at Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." It says that we have been forgiven and we have been granted of His sonship and salvation through Jesus Christ. We only read verses 13 and 14 today, but if you look at the context from verse 3 to 14, it talks about God's work of the redemption of mankind. Here we can see the huge theological topics, election and predestination. I'm not going to talk about this in detail, but what we have to know about them in today's context is that all the plans and providence of redemption, predestination, and election was done by God, and it was done through Jesus Christ. So basically, God planned, and Jesus accomplished God's work of the redemption of the mankind. Therefore, we came to know and believe this truth and receive the salvation. But this may sound like it is our faith that allowed us to receive the Holy Spirit. Even the second part of verse 13 says like this too. "Having believed, you are marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit." Maybe this is why many people might think that it is their faith that can invite Holy Spirit into their lives and make them believe about God's redemptive work. So it may sound like our salvation is a result of our faith, but actually our faith is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. We have discussed earlier in today's sermon that what Holy Spirit does for us is to teach us and to guide us to the truth. So it is not our own intellect, own strength, judgment, or understanding that makes us believe God's redemptive work, but it is the Holy Spirit who works in us to make us believe God and Jesus Christ and apply the effect of redemption, redemptive work, to lead us to the salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Paul uses the word seal to explain this. In the ancient times, the seal was used to guarantee one's possession. Sealing was done for the purpose of ensuring the authenticity of any document or letter, and protecting it from being corrupted and being stolen. In other words, "you were marked in Him with the seal" means that we are no longer our own, but that we are God's possession and we are His children. That we are His. And this is God's way of expressing and certifying to others that we are Christian and His children who are living under God's complete protection. So the seal is the gift of God, the promised Holy Spirit. And this gift gives us the wisdom and revelation for us to know Him better. It illumines our hearts to understand the true meaning of the gospel. It strengthens our inner being. It grants us the access to the Father and to the Christ. And it helps us to experience the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts through faith, which allows us to live holy life and experience inspiration through worship. This is not another blessing that we have to seek. But this is something that is already given to us when we came to believe Jesus Christ as our Savior. First part of verse 13 says like this, "And you are included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." So such sealing helps us to be reminded of our identity when we feel like our faith and the assurance of salvation gets shaken. Because the sealing of the Holy Spirit proves that we have received a definite salvation. And it is this faith that made many missionaries and many faithful ancestors to sacrifice their lives, to spread the gospel, and they were not afraid of being murdered. And it is this faith that made many faithful people to go through barriers of this world that's trying to make us fall with confidence. And also, it was this assurance that Paul had when he was writing this letter in prison to the people in Ephesus. Oftentimes, our faith gets weakened and we stumble. But such sealing mark that was put in us helps us to stand again in the firm foundation that we are His children and His possession when we feel like we are nobody and worthless being. It helps us to see God who is bigger than the problem we're facing. It helps us to see His working hands that's beyond what we are experiencing now. Holy Spirit helps us, and He helps us to the end so that we can do a great work for God's glory and for His kingdom. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says this, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." If the sealing of the Holy Spirit gives us such assurance and offers such help to us, then the deposit of Himself in our hearts make us enjoy the blessing that's been given to us and make us to give praise of glory to Him. Just as God has given His only Son on the cross to save us, God also gave His Spirit to dwell in us. This is such a promising truth that guarantees our salvation that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. It says, "Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory?" And Paul explained this bit easier on 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. It says, "Now it is God who makes both of us and both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." The passage that we read today, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, is called as the hymn of glory. We ought to praise of His glory because we have received this great blessing from God through Christ. And the Holy Spirit deposited Himself to guarantee such blessing. Therefore, what Christians ought to do is to sufficiently realize how blessed we are and enjoy the blessing and to give the praise of thanksgiving throughout our lives. This is what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is complete till it is expressed." I think today is a good day to do this, right? You say happy Valentine's Day. And why don't you greet each other? Say to the person who's sitting next to you, say, "You look so handsome. You look so beautiful." Can we say that? "You look so handsome. You look so beautiful." Although some of us may not agree, but you all look beautiful and handsome before God's eyes. Amen? Anyway, so what does this truth and assurance lead us to? Those who have received the Holy Spirit and enjoying the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their hearts must evidence it by the fruit of the Spirit in their character and life. The words that we use, the way we behave, and the way we view things must reflect what we believe. The difference between those who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them and those who do not live by the Spirit must be clear. In other words, there must be something in our actions and thinking that clearly differentiates us from non-believers. Church attendance must not be the only difference from the non-believers. And the standard of life and character of Christians must go beyond the reach of non-believers. It is sad to acknowledge, but there are many believers who have received this great blessing, who have received the Holy Spirit, but do not experience the fullness of the Spirit, even though they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. We tend to live according to the flesh and follow the desires of the sinful nature rather than following the desires of the Spirit. But a person who has the Spirit in them must be captured by and follow the Holy Spirit. And this is what it means when we say, fill us with the Holy Spirit. And we constantly need to be filled with the Spirit in order to experience the desires of the Spirit, overcoming the desires of the sinful nature. Ephesians 5:18 says this too, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Bible does not only encourage, but Bible commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is not an option for us, but something that we must do and obey. But oftentimes it is difficult to say that we are filled with the Holy Spirit due to our old sinful habits, indifferences, laziness, the lack of faith, and many other reasons. But one of the biggest problems is that we do not seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says in Luke 11:13 that if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So what Jesus is saying is, ask me, seek me. But why? Why don't we seek his help? It's because of the arrogance and conceit of thinking that we can live our Christian life in our own strength without the help of the Holy Spirit. Then I want us to think about these questions. Do I have problems trusting God? What have I compromised with the reality because I couldn't trust God? What are the problems that I have to fix as a believer? The conflict between faith and reasoning has been an ongoing struggle for humans. So there are many times when we think that we are doing God's work with a plan made by our own wisdom and our own power. But every attempt to overcome God's sovereignty is just the proof that our faith is fragile. A really strong faith is to believe, seek, and wait for the promise of God. Lamentations 3:25-26 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Many people frustrate and struggle after deciding to believe in Jesus. These people had a good start when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and expect peace, joy, and many blessings in their lives. But when people face trials, temptations, and barriers, people give up before the trials, fail before the temptation, and compromise their faith before the barriers. We decide to trust God, but we fail to do so when there's difficulty. We decide not to sin, but we fail to keep our commitment before temptations. We decide to live according to God's word, but we fail to faithfully keep that promise. And because of our failure, of our such weaknesses and limitation, we sometimes get disappointed ourselves and we doubt our faith and oftentimes we give up our faith. But yes, many times the situation indeed looks hopeless and despair due to health issues, financial issues, career issues, relationship issues, and faith issues. And we may even question, where is God in all this? And we may wonder how anything could possibly happen in our lives. And we sometimes may feel like God is not answering to our prayers and it feels like he has abandoned us. And we doubt about his presence, power, wisdom, and our faith shakes. But we have to always remember that God will never abandon His chosen people. God will never forget those people who are marked with a seal, who deposited Himself to guarantee this promise for us. But not only does not abandon us, but also He will examine every one of our situations. God will save us, and He will resuscitate us from any deadly situations. So continue to seek and rely on the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who saves and makes us live again, so that we can experience confidence, peace, and joy in your life. Those who experience God's presence in their lives will not fear and worry. Those who always experience God's presence in their lives will not lose their trust in God. Those who always experience God's presence in their lives will not lose their power as a Christian. According to the Bible Gateway, there are 5,467 God's promises in the Bible. And if we believe these promises, then these promises will become your blessings. But the secret to believe in this promise is not by your own power and strength and faith, but by the help of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone who is afraid because there is uncertainty in your life? Is there anyone who is struggling with the reality that seems irrelevant to what God promised to you? Is there anyone who is nervous and anxious because of the limitation you have in your life? Is there any being doubtful about God's presence and His promise? Remember the promise that the Holy Spirit will be with us to the very end of the age. Remember the promise that God will be with us forever. And do not stop seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He will never let you down. And He will never leave you. And He will never fail you. And He will be with you wherever you go. And He will make the way for you. He is the Father you can rely on. And it is this God who wants to walk with you along the journey of faith. And I pray that God will make a way for you and God will show the light through your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again for blessing us with your words. We pray that you will always fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit, and may we experience your presence in our lives, and help us to continue to seek you, and help us to remember that you are our helper who will speak to us and guide us and provide all of our needs, and help us not to forget this, and help us to remember that we are such a blessed people who have received this amazing grace and love. Help us to not just understand and know this with our head, but help us to accept this word with our heart and help us to live out what we know and what we believe. We pray all this thankfully in Jesus' name. Amen.